I really think God's got something special for us. I was praying and just seeking God's will this week, and in one of my devotions, and I'm going to share a little bit out of this devotion, God just kind of jumped right off the page. The Holy Spirit just jumped off the page, and you know, you think, well, maybe that was just for me. And even this morning, as we were, you know, coming to church this morning, I was thinking, well, I hope this was for more people than just me, God. It'd be kind of nice to really know that for sure. And then Cindy read her devotion this morning. And
wow.
I about had to pull over. I started crying. So this is for us, okay? And you're gonna get a kick out of the title. It's called Believing is Seeing. How many times have you heard seeing is believing? You know, isn't it Missouri, the show me state, right? But, you know, really, in our walk with God, believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. Think about that for a little bit. How many things do you believe in? How many things do you believe God can and will do now that you did not believe in maybe a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 40 years ago? Some of us have walked with God so long, it's just amazing. And you know, the amazing thing is no matter how much we see, no matter how much we believe and then see, it's like God is always waiting for us around the next corner of our journey just to show us something more spectacular than we ever believed we would be able to see or imagine. In my devotion this week, it talks about a Virginia woman who was able to see for the first time in decades. Her name was Josephine Mulkey, and she had been blind since an accident at age 6. Just think about this. For decades, she was blind. And an operation restored her vision. And she said, "It makes me so happy that I feel like singing How Great Thou Art." Where do you suppose her faith was? Right? So we know she was a believer. She said that one of the most pleasant surprises was seeing what a beautiful family that she had raised. She said that her grandchildren and neighbors looked much like she expected, but much prettier, she added. In fact, she said, "Everything I look at is pretty." Now, God can do that. God was with the surgeons. God was with the technology that allowed her to see. But we know that Jesus restores sight. But can you imagine for the first time, to be able to put sight to sounds? How about bird songs? You know, this morning, I couldn't hear the chickadees in the bushes outside of our window. Cindy and I were having our quiet time and breakfast, and we have a couple of mini lilac bushes there. And the chickadees and the sparrows, and there's a lot of birds that just, you know, love to find refuge there. And I could kind of hear them, but to see them and to realize just exactly what they looked like and what kind of birds they were. Or how about Rocky Mountain bluebirds, the most beautiful, or waxwing cedar crests. How about all of these birds, you know, that we just take, we see it and we're like, wow, look at that. You know, a tanager. Oh my goodness, the first time I saw a tanager, I about freaked out. And there's so many things that we do, you know. How about the wind through the leaves? You could hear it, but you couldn't see the rustle. You couldn't see the leaves moving. You couldn't see the golden in the fall, the deep green. Or how about smells? You'd walk by a linden tree in the spring, and you'd be able to smell that lemony, fresh, beautiful smell, but you'd never, ever be able to see the beautiful yellow flowers that were on the tree. Or how about a flower? A pine tree? How about feeling? You know, you feel the smooth fur of maybe, you know, a dog or cat, but being able to see the different colors, to see, you know, all the things for the first time. Or the texture of grass. You know, you feel grass, but can you imagine seeing it for the first time? Or how about the contour of a face? I had a great uncle who was very, very close in our family. In fact, he lived with us for a while, and he was blind. He was amazing. He was an amazing musician. He could play just about anything you handed him. Couldn't read music, but he was amazing. And I remember the first time that I was old enough, and I remember him saying, "Jimmy, I want you to come here so I can see you." And I'm like, "Okay." And I was thinking as a young kid at about 5 years old, well, maybe if I get close enough to him, he can see me. So I got right up next to his nose. And he chuckled and he said, "No, here, just let me feel your face so I can see you." And I thought, you know, when he passed away and he went to heaven, I thought, how amazing it must have been for him to see the faces of all the people that he grew up with. I had another great uncle who passed away before I knew him. They were brothers and they were both blind. But I got the opportunity to live with, to be around my amazing great uncle. Such a gracious man, such a wonderful man. And you see, Jesus heals those who are blind. Jesus heals those who are blind. Sometimes he does it physically, but he always does it spiritually and mentally. Sometimes Jesus heals physically, doesn't he? And we know it. I'm going to talk about it. But first of all, I want to read a passage of Scripture. It's where Jesus was just starting into his ministry. Right after he'd been baptized and the Holy Spirit rested upon him, and he was going throughout the countryside, and he came to Galilee. It says in Luke 4, 14 through 21, that Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. And he taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. He went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and they looked at him and said, "Oh, well, you know, Jesus hasn't been here for a while. Let's have him read the scroll." What's amazing is how God put this together. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. He didn't say, "Hey, I want the scroll of Isaiah today because I'm going to blow your mind." No, it really blows our mind even more so, because they handed him the scroll of Isaiah, and unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. That's what he read. Then he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. It wasn't like they were casually looking at him. They were staring at him because he'd already shown himself to be a great teacher and a prophet. And then he says this. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now, the amazing thing about Jesus' ministry is he did less miracles and less releasing of prisoners and less healing in his hometown than any place else because of, it says in the Bible, because of unbelief. They couldn't see past the carpenter kid. They couldn't see past that. And so many times the world can't see past, you know, "Hey, JC, you got my back, buddy." A very casual relationship with Jesus. He's Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings, and he has all the power of the universe at his disposal. But yet he calls us friend, he embraces us. He calls us his brothers and sisters. He embraces them. So when we go to Christ, we need to realize something. Believing is seeing. When we start believing in Christ for who he really is, we start seeing some amazing things. We see, first of all, we start seeing God in the physical. You know, like our story above about Josephine, you know? It's amazing that there was a surgery was ever you know, ever developed for her to see her sight. That's an amazing thing. And then I thought, you know, what's even more amazing, though, is when people are prayed over, and they have a miraculous healing. So I thought, you know, I know there's a lot of miraculous healings going on just in our network of churches, but I thought, well, I want to broaden the spectrum a little bit. So I Googled it. Miraculous healing of eyesight. I Googled it. And in 0.46 seconds, that's less than 1 second, Google had 13,100,000 results. I was amazed. I scrolled down about 20 pages, and every one was about someone somewhere in the world who a missionary or a pastor or a friend or somebody, you know, in America, all throughout the world. You can read about 13 million incidences on Google where people receive their sight after prayer. We don't hear about that, do we, on CBS? Whoa, God's working. You know, man, that'd put Obamacare out of business, wouldn't it? Huh? But I was like, 13,100,000 in less than a second. We have our own personal story. Our oldest daughter, Darcy, was diagnosed with MS. And her eyesight, we didn't know what was going on. All we knew is that she was losing motor function. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. She had all kinds of issues going on. She was losing motor function. So we went to the losing eyesight, and we went to the Mayo Clinic, and they said, well, she has MS. And like what, every 2-3 months, her glasses had to be changed because her eyesight was degenerating so fast. And we were praying, but we were praying because we knew that the Word of God said, pray, pray, pray. And about the time that we just maybe give up hope and, well, maybe, who knows, maybe, you know, God's glory is going to be in here, but maybe it's not in a healing. God's glory is going to happen. And you have all of these questions, you know, when one of your children is just, you know, deteriorating before your eyes. And then a friend of ours who's a farmer out in the middle of Kansas and Colorado spends a lot of time in his tractor. His name is Harold Amos. Amos. He calls me in the middle of nowhere and he says, hey, Jim, you keep praying. God told me that he's going to heal Darcy, but it's going to be through prayer. And we all need to keep praying. And we've been praying for a couple years, 3 years. And I thought, well, that's, no, he said, you know, he just said that. And I said, oh, you know, did another friend call? No, he didn't even know about it. He was a friend, but he said, nope. So God said, well, Darcy's told me out of my tractor, Darcy's got MS, but she's going to be healed. And you know the thing is, you know why we knew that she was healed when she was healed? She went to a youth event. The guy that was speaking at that youth event, he stops right in the middle of his message and he says, I'm an evangelist. I am not a faith healer, but God told me to pray for healing right now and people were going to get it. And he said, so let's do it. And they did. And a lot of kids got healed. And Darcy, she was praying, and when they got done praying, she looked up and her eyesight was real. She had her glasses on and her eyesight was just, she said, I couldn't see anything. And I thought, oh no, because sometimes she'd wake up in the morning and it would just be like that. It would happen that fast. She thought, oh no. She said, you know, not thinking. She took her glasses off and she could see. And so she got all excited and jumped up and down on them and broke them to pieces. I still remember me thinking, why did you break? Anyway, being the dad who paid for them, right? Not like, wow, God's done a healing. So she comes home and she says, I can see. And we're like, okay, this is crazy. So we go to the eye doctor. And we'd been going to the Mayo Clinic, you know, on very, very frequent checkups. We go to the eye doctor. And Dr. Jewett, he says, this is amazing. He said, I don't know what's going on, but her eyesight is exactly what it was before she got MS. He said, it's not perfect. She's still going to have to wear glasses. But it's exactly what it was before she got MS. You know, and I've always thought, you know, God, that's kind of cool, but, you know, I'm always the what if. I'm sorry. And I know God loves me, and he has to slap me every once in a while. So we made an appointment. We went out to the Mayo Clinic, and guess what? Not only was her eyesight restored, but Darcy no longer had MS. And Dr. Noseworthy, who was one of the world's renowned physicians for children's MS, he came in and he said, I want to show you something on her brain and the MRI. He said, you see that little silver dollar disc? That's the MS before. You see over here, there's kind of a shadow. It looks like a ghost, same size. I said, yeah. And I said right away, what's that? He said, that was left there by God so that Dr. Noseworthy knows that there's a God and he's not him. And That's what God does. And sometimes it's hard, and sometimes you don't get the answers you want, but God is here, and God is working among us. And He does change us physically. He does. He does amazing things for us. But the one thing that we know God always does is we know that God opens our eyes so that we can see Him spiritually. And I don't know about you, but that is the hardest thing for me to explain to people. It's like, I know you don't believe in God, but I do. Why? Because I feel and I see the Holy Spirit involved in my life. Well, how do you see Him? Well, I believe, so I see. And I hope that our lives are just the opposite for people, so that people see our lives and they believe. And that's what God's in the business of. He's in the business of us believing so that we see, so that others see and they believe. And Jesus did that in His ministry. You see, Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." The one thing that I do every morning when I get up is like, God, I don't want anything between You and me, and please show me, because I want to see You. Lord, I want to stay in that place where I can see You today. And no matter what goes on, no matter what happens, Lord, I want to see You in the blessings. I want to see You in the trials. I want to see You in every area of my life. I want to see You, Lord, in the growing. I want to see You in the waiting. And I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but sometimes seeing God in the waiting is the hardest, isn't it? With us waiting for something to happen, you know, in prayer. That's really hard. Really, really hard. But Romans 8:28 is true. It says, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose." Sometimes it's hard to see God in all things, isn't it? It's really hard. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's really easy. And sometimes when life gets really, really good, it's hard to continue to remind ourselves that God's in charge. We can kind of get off track a little bit, like, wow, things are going so good, you know? It's kind of like when you're learning to drive a car and things are going so good and you want to go around that corner just a little bit faster and you want to do something just a little more, you know, just a little, push the limits just a little bit, and you want to do a cookie in the parking lot of the church and you put a dent in your dad's Jeep Wagoneer. Been known to happen. It's the reason I got my first job. Yeah. Life was good. You know, and it was kind of hard to see God in that God's here. He's good, but He still wants us to walk within those parameters of His love and safety. God loves us. God loves us. Now, I can see God works for good in my life and all things in this scripture. It says so. God works for the good of all things in this scripture, okay? And I can see that I love Him, because He is working for my good. That's just in the scripture. And I can see that I have been called according to His purposes, and that's where it gets a little tricky, because God works for the good of all those who love Him and who have been called according to His purposes. Now, what happens is we may not see God if we're not loving Him. And I was like, wait a minute. I believe in Jesus. I love Him, and I know we love Him, but sometimes, is it easier to love God? Do we express our love more? You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but I've had times where I wasn't very happy with God. And I was really finding it hard. And God's like, you got to love me through this. You got to love me through this. You got to love me through this. You know, one of the probably a big thing, you know, of course, is when we lose, you know, a loved one. But for us guys or for anyone, if you lose a job, you know, and I remember one time, you know, they said, hey, I'm sorry, things have slowed down. We got to let you go. And I was like, really? I like this job. I like what I'm doing. This job, you know, gave me purpose and everything. And within 2 days, God gave me a better one. But there was a period of time there, you know, that initial, hey, I'm sorry, but, you know, you're done. You know, and it wasn't like, well, we're going to give you 2 weeks. And how many of you, even if you're doing good and you got along, how many of you would like to stick around a job for another 2 weeks, right? And so, right? When I left the gas company, I gave them notice and then went on vacation for 4 weeks and came back and worked one day. It worked great. But they understood, gave them time to find somebody else, you know. But, you know, there's those times in our lives we lose someone special or a relationship goes south. And, you know, if we're not there, sometimes we don't see God clearly. The further away we get from God in our relationship, the harder it is to see Him. When we're up close and personal, we know that His presence is with us. You know, another way that we might not see God is if we're not living out our calling in His purposes, you know. If we're not working out our purposes, if we're not living our calling. And I'm not talking about your job. Wherever you're at, that's your calling. Paul said, wherever you're at in this station of life, stay there. And then live a life that's exemplary. Live a life where people are like, wow, you're different. That's your calling. I remember growing up in a church where the calling of every young man was to become a pastor. And out of 12 of us, there's only 2 of us that are still pastoring churches. And there was 10 of us who had to work through a lot of failure issues because, man, one of my best friend growing up, we went to Bible college and everything. My best friend growing up, years later, you know, just kind of, not being real close, but living in the vicinity, years later, he said, you know, I just wish our church would have said, your calling is whatever giftedness, and show, you know, shared that, because now the church does. He said, man, I really struggled with that. And the guy is one of the best crane operators in the Midwest. And the guy makes more money than somebody flying an airplane for Delta. And he tithes 30% of that and gives away another 20%. He said, my calling is to run a crane, make a buttload of money, and make Jesus happy about it. You see, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, it doesn't matter, you know. I've been a custodian. My calling was to be the best custodian that there ever was. My calling was to be there for the people I worked with and for the people I worked for. Wherever we're at, that's our calling. It's kind of interesting when we get... We've had a number of interns, pastoring interns. We've sent out 4 young men and their families now of pastoring. And the first day they come to work here, we go clean the toilets. I said, you want to know something? You need to realize who you are. You are a servant. And if the toilets need cleaned, that's what needs to be done. Because that's the most important thing you can do if they need done. That's our calling. And our calling is seeing God and seeing those opportunities to serve people. But if we're not there, you know, we might be not seeing God so clear. And are we working on our purpose? What's our purpose? You know, the world would tell you that your purpose is to get ahead, to be successful, get up the chain, make money, retire, and then within a week die. I mean, I don't know. I worked with a lot of guys in the gas industry that, you know, man, all they thought about was retirement. And then once they retired, they had nothing left. Now, on the other hand, I know a couple, a young couple, and they're 85 years old now, Doug and Doug Selberg and his wife, and they do Nova Shalom classes for marriage ministry. Now, a lot of people could say, well, you know, Doug, you and Charlene don't know what you're talking about, except... they've been married for 62 years. I think they got their poop in a group, right? And he retired, and his purpose, okay, his purpose was what? His purpose was to be a good dad, a good father, a good husband. And his purpose is still going on. He's sharing that love with Jesus, that relationship with Jesus. Our purpose is showing up. We had a men's group, and it's what it was about, showing up. You know, they kept saying, you know, we go, okay, what's the secret to a successful life? Showing up. And everybody kept saying it. I think we got it, didn't we, guys? Didn't we kind of get, yeah, we got that one, yeah. Show up. Just keep showing up. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You see, we see God in his purpose for us by him abounding in those good works. We see God. You know, it's so crazy. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will nudge you to do something, you know, that you've never ever dreamed you'd do. Or, you know, it's like, I don't know, God, this is kind of, you'll do it. And then all of a sudden you see God's grace abounding in that area. You see his purpose doing, you know, maybe not huge things, but amazing small things. God's the God of the little and the big. God's the God of everything. It says, in all things, he will make all grace abound to you. You see, we see God abounding in good works in us. Works that are empowered, works that are energized, works that are opened up and completed in God's grace. We've been talking about God's grace for forever. God's grace is involved in believing is seeing. Because God's grace of faith, God's grace gift of faith, is giving us that opportunity, giving us that power, giving us that resolute mental attitude to believe so that we can see. So how do we see God mentally? Well, this is a tough one. Because we all see through a filter that has been formed from birth until right now. Everything that's ever happened in your life, it has created a filter in your life. Okay? A filter in your life. Okay? And that filter is about your culture, your family, your locality, your presumptions, your prejudices, your preferences, your environment, your faith, and it is who you are. I see it every day. I love working around college kids, especially college kids from all over the world, because, you know, you are who you are, and it's going to come out eventually. It's going to come out eventually. And I see it in older people interacting with college kids, you know, in fashion, you know. In my day, when we grew up, we bought jeans that weren't wore out, and then we wore them out, okay? And I'm just like, hey, fashion's fashion. You know, what used to really bother me is when people wore their caps wrong, like backwards. That really bothered me. And then I realized, you know, I got to stop that. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, I prefer to have my bill here and my sunglasses here instead of my cap backwards and my sunglasses up here going like this. You know, I just saying, you know. But you see how we all have predisposed? You see our filter. How do we see things? How do we see things? We see things through that filter. We see things through that filter. When you get around other people, different people, people that aren't like you, trust me. People from Ethiopia are not like you. People from Tanzania, they're not like us, or Japan, or whatever. But they're people, and they're lovely, and they're wonderful. And I'm asked questions all the time, you know. Did you know that our country is kind of a loud country, culturally? I knew that because I grew up in a loud family. Cindy's family was quiet. When I remember one time coming back from, you know, being at my house, she goes, "Wow, your family is so loud." Yeah, they are. Yeah. But you see how we're so different. So different. And we see things through that filter, and God is always readjusting that filter. You know, it's like this morning, I thought my glasses were clean. There's a really good example. Man, I cleaned my glasses before we left the house. You know, and then we get outside, and there's this thing in the sky that we haven't seen for a while. You know, that yellow thing? You know, you're like, oh my goodness, what is going on? And you know, and everything was good until I turned my eye, and my glasses were like, poof. Like, you know that you clean your glasses and they're clean, but they're not clean. And that's our filter, spiritually, mentally, physically. That is our filter. You see, we're walking around thinking, man, I got this. God, thank you. I'm all cleaned up. And we turn around just right, and the sun of the Lord Jesus Christ's Son shines on our spirit, shines on our mental aptitude, shines on us, and we're like, oh my gosh, I can't see anything. Have you ever been there? And then you're like, okay, God, how did I miss the boat? And God says, you didn't miss the boat, son. You weren't even standing on the dock. It's like, but God, he goes, no, it's okay. I'll bring the boat back around. You know, when we were in Glacier last summer, they did not bring the boat back around. They were very clear about that. If you miss the boat, you will be walking around the lake, and it is 7 miles, and there are bears. The bear part really kind of got your attention, right? Especially when you're going across, you know, and you go, hey, there's a bear. Yes, they were right. There are bears. But God says, look, I just want you every morning, try to clean your glasses, right? Try to get yourself adjusted to that place to where you can see, because my glasses were a lot cleaner than they were before I left the house. Yeah, there were some smudges on there. And you want to know the amazing thing is sometimes the family, the body of Christ, can help us in adjusting our spiritual sight. So we get out here, and I said to Cindy, I said, I cannot get my glasses clean. Could you clean these things for me, please? She said, why? Of course I can. Because her glasses were clean and she could see, right? And that's how wonderful it is when we walk with God. Number one, he shows us when we got a little grime on our spiritual eyesight. And number two, we have brothers and sisters that can help us. Help us in prayer. Help us in our walk. Help us with you know, just maybe a very, very simple task. I don't know how many of you know how wonderful it is. If you just need to do something, to lift something, you got somebody around you can call, right? Isn't that nice? It's like, I don't know how many times somebody's called, hey, we're moving this to this. Hey, no problem. And it's the same way with our spiritual burdens. When God opens up our eyes, we start seeing things differently. We see our enemies as a purpose. We see our enemies as a purpose. We see our faith as our cause. We see our offenses as the opportunity to extend forgiveness and grace. And I'm not saying it's like, okay, I got this going on. No, we're always in the learning curve. We're always there. But praise God, he's right there with us. Paul knew how this worked. And so in Philippians 4, 8 through 9, he says this. He says, finally. Paul's like, okay, told you a lot of stuff, but finally I'm going to tell you this. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And I put in parentheses, this is what Paul is saying in the Greek. He's saying, look at them with your spiritual mind's eye. That's what that phrase, think about these things. Paul is saying, I want you to look at all these things with your spiritual mind's eye. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Okay, are you in a situation and it's confusing? Then start looking for the truth in it. Are you in a cause and you're not sure whether you're supposed to be there? Start looking at whether or not that cause is a noble cause and you're supposed to be there. Are you kind of worried about whether something is right or wrong? Then go to God and say, God, is this right or wrong? If you're not sure about the motives or the purity of a situation, say, okay, God, I need to see your purity. Lord, I want to see what is lovely. I want to see what is admirable. I want to see the things that are excellent and praiseworthy. And I want to be thinking about this in my mind's eye. I want my mental aptitude. I want to see these things with my spiritual mind's eye so, Lord, I can see clearly in you and through you. And once we start looking at things different, we see things different. And then, believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. We're like, wow, Lord, I believe in you. Because when we start looking at things in our spiritual mind's eye, then we find out that the God of peace, this is a promise, God of peace will be with you. God says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will always be there with you. I'll always be there to clean your glasses or to find somebody else to clean them. And don't you just love it when God sends somebody into your life to clean your glasses. He's doing it because he loves you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that, Lord, believing is seeing. We thank you that when we start believing in you, when we start seeing your scripture as truth, when we start knowing that when we believe, we see differently, our whole world opens up. It's like we've never seen before. And I pray, Lord, that this week, each and every one of us will believe in something in you to a greater value, Lord, to a greater measure. I pray that we will start seeing you differently, and Lord, we will embrace you so that, Lord, we can see you more. We can believe more in the truth and the power of what you're doing in our lives. So, Lord, show us very explicitly this week some place where we've never seen you before. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.